when we are capturing voice of customer for a company that we're working with, we're doing it under the pretext that we're helping this company better understand who their best customer is. And I say that from like a high level understanding even, right? So among all of your customers, not all customers are created equally. And when it comes time to develop new positioning or messaging or optimize, you know, their customer experience, it's critical to understanding who those customers are, what matters to them. And so we're doing this like higher level type of research. I say high level, but really what I mean is like foundational. But that's what we're really doing when we're capturing voice of customer. Welcome to the Forget the Funnel podcast, where our goal is to help you as a SaaS leader finally stop guessing, understand your best customers, and drive more predictable recurring revenue. We're Gia and Claire, founders of Forget the Funnel, a product marketing and growth consultancy that helps SaaS businesses learn from their best customers, map and measure their experiences, and unlock their best levers for growth. So if you're looking to help your team make smarter decisions, this show is for you.
So Gio, we're talking about voice of customer. So we should probably start by defining, like, when we are saying voice of customer, what do we even mean? Because that phrase is broad. And like, as we'll get into, it's evolved a bit over time. Like, when you and I are talking about voice of customer, we're describing the pulling from research of the direct words and phrases that your ideal, like your most qualified customers use to describe their experience with you, with your product. So it can cover anything that kind of lives in their story of becoming aware that they had a problem that needed solved, through to how and where they searched for solutions, all the way through to finding your product and what about your product was, I guess, uniquely suited to solve their problem. So the goal then, if with these direct words and phrases and concepts from your best qualified customers, the goal is to, in all of your customer experience, marketing particularly, but then also the product experience, is to mirror that voice of customer as closely as you can so that you're attracting and resonating with that best fit or most qualified customer.
Yeah, I mean, as you were describing this, I'm realizing that and reminded that the term has so many misconceptions. It's kind of like the term customer journey. Like, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And there's a lot of preconceived notions about what it is. And I know that we're, you know, meant to sort of dig into this a little bit. Like, some of the misconceptions about voice of customer is that it's something that like big companies do. And so voice of customer can also be, it can be this very specific application that you've just described, but there's also the opposite end of that, which is like the voice of customer, which is this like big voice that like, you know, or big resource or omnipresent thing that like should live in every company and every, you know, corporation or usually bigger companies should have this voice of customer. They should be aware of this voice of customer. But when bigger companies, you know, use this term sometimes, generally what they're referring to is this like the big ideas around voice of customer versus the very specific way that you just described it, which is like, you know, the literal words that they use, like direct quotes, like real voice of customer coming from that customer and then being applied in a bunch of ways versus the voice of customer as this like big abstract thing that is just meant as like, understand your customers. And it's just like too big to even use.
Not actionable, like almost, I don't know if academic is the right term.
I think so. And I think that's part of the sort of the misconceptions about voice of customer is that it's this thing that big companies do and that it involves like big research projects and that it's kind of a nice to have. And it's something only big companies do when really the uses are so practical in day to day that we want to kind of bring it back down. And it's worth talking about it through that lens because we want to bring it back down to the reality and the very useful applications that most companies are missing out on because they think of it as this like, hey, yeah, voice of customer, like, again, sounds like high level, not practical, and like a nice to have, like kind of optional, when actually it's really actionable and it really helps to mobilize the team and help them make good decisions and do a lot of very practical things in their day-to-day work.
Part of the notes say, like, voice of customer as a concept was first referenced in marketing literature in 1993. And as you and I were discussing this, we were like, okay, so what does that version mean versus this very practical or actionable, like, you know, tool that practitioners can leverage?
Yeah. So it's hard to say, but I mean, some theories are definitely that I had were like, well, one of the most obvious things and differences I would say is like how voice of customer can be used now versus then. But I think previously, voice of customer or voice of the customer was thought of as a tool for like leadership teams to plan and see like where is the business going and getting in touch with the market and understanding what the market wants and needs. And, you know, what does that mean about our solution or our product and what should we, you know, how should we evolve this business based on what we learned from this voice of the customer versus the very practical applications that we can use it in today because of, you know, I guess primarily because of technology. So, you know, thinking about simple applications like the fact that many companies are, I mean, not only marketing, but from a product experience, we're building scalable customer experiences and customer comms. And so we're in this position where we are producing, you know, copy, like literal copy and communications at scale and in very iterative ways. So like email campaigns are a great example. We're running email campaigns all the time. So it's not like we're producing, you know, an asset and then it lives on forever. We're constantly evolving and iterating on what we're doing because of technology, because of, you know, digital marketing. Marketing is very obvious too, for all the same reasons that I just mentioned, right? Like we're running ads and running marketing campaigns on a, you know, monthly, weekly, daily basis. We're constantly producing this stuff. And so it gives us an opportunity to leverage voice of customer on the daily versus this like tool for the leadership team. Messaging kind of goes without saying. Right. Obviously, we would use voice of customer to, like you mentioned before, like you should be using the language that your customers use. You should like mirror it back to them. And so there's a lot of strategy there in being really thoughtful about your messaging strategy, reflecting the language that your customers use. I know that one that had a big influence on both of us was like Joanna Weeb's copywriting, but I would love for you to jump in, Claire, and talk about Joe's copywriting.
Anyone who's in any customer facing role could stand to benefit from Joanna Weeb and like the ecosystem of copy hackers that she has built over the years. That's where I first heard of the phrase voice of customer. And Joe was using that phrase in this very actionable way. One of the things that we produce in our work, running customer interviews and then parsing those interviews for important insights, one of the outputs of that is this, what we internally, you know, reference as a VOC brief, voice of customer brief. That document itself is an evolution of a version from years and years ago that I saw in either a blog post of Joe's or some educational material of Joe's. And like, I definitely equate tactical, actionable voice of customer with Joe at Copy Hackers.
Okay. So when we are capturing voice of customer for a company that we're working with, we're doing it under the pretext that we're helping this company better understand who their best customer is. And I say that from like a high level understanding even, right? So among all of your customers, not all customers are created equally. And when it comes time to develop new positioning or messaging or optimize, you know, their customer experience, it's critical to understanding who those customers are, what matters to them. And so we're doing this like higher level sort of type of research. I say high level, but really what I mean is like foundational. But that's what we're really doing when we're capturing voice of customer. So we do that, as I'm sure anybody who's familiar with our work knows, you know, we use Jobs to Be Done to guide those conversations and what ultimately captures that voice of customer. What we wanted to talk about here more specifically is the direct output of those conversations being literal quotes, like almost verbatim quotes, like the language that is used and pulled out. So in these conversations, are we getting a deeper understanding of the broader scope of these customers. Yes, we're understanding, you know, the context in which they experience a struggle, what triggers them to look for a new solution, what does that process look like, what is it about, you know, this solution that originally sort of attracted them, their motivators, their objections, their anxieties, all of that higher level sort of, you know, what we refer to as like the dimensions of a job to be done. But in capturing those things, we're actually also capturing the literal words. So not only are we helping companies understand their customers in those broader terms, we're also producing this document that is this voice of customer brief that has all of these amazing applications. Like once we've taken our insights and done the pattern matching and we see these really meaningful themes and we can match it to and map it to the parts of the product, like, cool, that's a great output of that work. But then that document itself is so valuable that I just find it's one of the like unsung heroes of customer research. Is like the insights, of course, and the key takeaways and how is this actionable and what has the team learned and, you know, building empathy and better understanding. But then there's also this other document that was sort of used in the process that has all these other applications. So I just wanted to sort of like level set that that's the context in which we tend to capture voice of customer. But there are many other ways you might capture a voice of customer that might not be with this like goal of trying to understand our best customers. So a good example of that is Joe with Copy Hackers. Like she's not trying to do this foundational research of helping companies understand their best customers. She's trying to help them craft copy that is going to convert better and be more effective. Right. And she's trying to give copywriters a tool to help do that really effectively. And it's like incredible and amazing and obviously applaud that effort, but it's a very different thing than the pretext under which we're capturing it.
You have set the context for what we are usually doing, which is helping companies better understand who they serve and how their product uniquely serves that person. And out of that work come job to be done interviews, which we then pull key quotes from those interviews into this voice of customer brief. But let's talk a little bit more about the different ways that people can gather that voice of customer. Interviews feels like such an obvious place to start because that's what we do the most. But obviously there are other methods. And I know you and I both have opinions about which are ideal to start with and which like you don't worry about unless you really need to.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do it. I'm sure any list that we come up with would never be exhaustive, but obviously some that come to mind that people might be familiar with or maybe not, but like social listening, you know, that has a very interesting application for marketing for anybody in like a social media manager role, right? Like listening to the market, but that is a very different use case than what we're describing when we talk about identifying an ideal customer and learning from your best customers, because social listening is basically listening to everyone. It's like the audience. It's the, you know, who's in your ecosystem. Now, there might be ways to get really sophisticated with social listening where you're like, you know, tagging customers who you know are in your, on your social platforms and you tag them according to like customer type or something. I don't know if anybody goes that far with it realistically, but I mean, I know some people do, but I remember when I was working with the team at Sprout Social, that was like a part of it. Like you could tag people so that you knew that it was actually your customers that you were listening to, but that's really quite pro level. The other thing that comes up, I know one of the things that you mentioned, Claire, was like live chat. So similarly problematic, right, with live chat is that if this person is not identifiable by you as being in your target customer, like if they're not a customer yet, or you have no identifiable information about them, about whether or not they fall into your ICP or not, then you could potentially be over-indexing on a less than ideal fit customer's VOC. That's kind of the risk when you're listening to like the market on the whole. We don't know for sure whether or not they fall into our ICP, our literal ideal customer profile, like the makeup of their business. And if we're, you know, talking about a B2B situation, or if they fall into our, what we consider to be an ideal customer for our business, right? That gets a ton of value from our solution today. Okay. So there's two that are like maybe a little bit risky. I would say that web survey kind of falls into the same category. So we talk about a web survey in the book, and I know that it's a really popular tactic to execute on. A ton of folks who have read the book have reached out and been like, oh yeah, I launched the web survey. It's like the first thing that a lot of people do.
Because it's easy, which is great.
The caveat, of course, there is that it's kind of hypothesis-based, right? So ideally what you're doing is you're pre-qualifying people from even filling out the web survey by saying, hey, person who's seeking this very specific solution, like, we want you to respond to this survey. But then obviously you've got to take the next step where you get some other kind of qualifier question asked in that survey so that you're making sure that you're not potentially over-indexing on somebody who's not a fit for your solution. So your web survey, there's a little bit more like quality control that's needed with web survey versus qualitative surveys and interviews. One that I left out is the like post sign-up question. So that's another one that I love this tactic, especially like if you're trying to get buy-in for research, this is real low-hanging fruit, right? Like asking a question about what led somebody to sign up for your product post sign-up. So whether on your sign-up form so that you're not compromising the conversion rate of the sign-up form on your website, after the somebody's completed the sign-up form, asking them something along the lines of like, what was it that led you to sign up for a solution today? And leaving that be an open text field, that is a great way to capture voice of customer. You don't even have to do anything with it, but just capturing the actual words can be really powerful as a first sort of like baby step in that direction.
Like you've covered some risky or, you know, some methods that like I wouldn't prioritize if I didn't have to. If I had access to a good fit set of customers, I wouldn't start with social listening. I wouldn't start with gathering, you know, the quotes from people who are interacting with a live chat. I would run that post sign up single question. Ideally, and this is where I think this is where the crux of like, you know, the forget the funnel perspective is. Ideally, any voice of customer that you are gathering, you are able to filter through the lens of came from a good fit customer, came from our ICP. But this question that someone might respond to after they have just signed up for your product, you can go into your customer database and filter down and look at show me customers who are good fits, and then look at their answers to what was going on that led you to sign up. That's your best case scenario. Similarly, listening to recordings of sales calls, once again, filtered through the lens of became a good fit customer, is really powerful. It's a more in-depth version of what I was doing just last night when I was looking at our intake form, but I was filtering what I was paying attention to by became a good fit client. So the line in the sand there is the more you can focus the voice of customer gathering on people who came through the front door and were good fits and have stuck around, the more useful your findings are going to be. And learning from all of your customers or learning from everyone who comes through the front door or everybody on your website is really not that productive because not everyone is an ideal fit.
So what I will say is that if you're looking for where to get started with capturing voice of customer, then you may be in a situation where you're like, I just legit don't know where to start with our existing customer base. So learning from your customers who are happily paying, but also recent customers, that's the criteria that we always sort of start with. But sometimes with some of the companies that we've worked with, that isn't always enough. So you might have a very broad type of customer base where you're like, that's cool. But even among that, there's a big mix of folks. And if the numbers are high enough of you may have a couple thousand that fall into those categories, then you may want to actually start with qualitative surveys in order to pre-qualify for interviews. So you can run that type of survey to pre-qualify for those to run those conversations.
Okay. So if we have the opportunity, interviews are always where we start. There are so many aspects of interviewing your customers that are valuable. One is just the depth and the nuance of your customer's experience that you can capture in a conversation that is just not going to come through in a survey. Nobody, myself included, advocate for research here, nobody is going to write paragraphs upon paragraphs of their experience in a survey response. We're busy people. And your research project is not that important. So an interview really allows you to understand your customer as a human being who was having a real life problem and looked for solutions to that problem, saw something compelling about your solution, and that ultimately convinced them to go with you versus anything else. And having that conversation is valuable for the capturing of the voice of customer, but also for just the team to be able to empathize with the people that you serve. Additionally, what you'll find from surveys are a whole bunch of people saying, yours was easier, or your product saves me time. Like, every product ultimately saves money or makes money, saves time. That kind of generalized language is going to be very common in your survey responses, because it's a quick default. And that's not the fault of your customers. Again, it's just the fact that they have busy lives. So what an interview allows you to do is dig into kind of what easy or what saves time means to them. And that's really one of my favorite aspects of running research for the companies we work with. Like, when I'm sitting down with, you know, what a researcher on a project, and we are talking through, okay, this product was easy to use. Customers said that it really stood out because it was so easy. Then we can get into the depths of, like, well, what does easy mean in comparison to what? Pen and paper, or in comparison to a legacy solution? There's just so much more that you can get under the surface of easy or save me time when you have those conversations versus when you're relying on more scalable, low-touch methods like a survey. When we are running interviews, we are running jobs to be done style interviews, because the goal of our research is always to help the companies we work with better understand who they serve, what struggles push those best qualified customers to seek a solution, and so on. And what comes out of jobs interviews is that kind of end-to-end story of the struggle and the search and ultimately the choosing of a new solution. There are so many different, internally we refer to them as dimensions. I think you said it earlier on in this conversation. There's so many different dimensions of voice of customer that come out of those interviews. Not just the language around what struggles pushed people or what about a new solution they were looking for, but also little words and phrases.
It's a little bit silly to say this, because to you and I, it seems really obvious, but you know as well as I do, we talk to a lot of teams that are like, oh yeah, we've been running interviews and I talk to my customers all the time, and never do they hit record. And like, or they hit record and it gets lost and never used. So absolutely, if you're going to be taking the time to identify the customers that you should be like taking the time to actually get on calls with, record the calls. Human transcribe the calls. The thing that I want to sort of also emphasize here is that, especially now, transcribing does not mean your like automatic transcription software. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about voice of customer, huge difference. So if for any reason you are speaking to a customer that might not be like a native English speaker, your AI transcription tool is going to have a very hard time. And then if it's your job to parse that transcript, it is going to take you so much longer. So always use, whenever possible, a human transcription, you know, service. We love service. Rev. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been using Rev for years. It's just night and day. There's a lot of really great AI transcription that exists. We have yet to find one that is high enough quality that we would give up a human being for. And predominantly the reason for that is, like, if your customer has any sort of accent, it can be very difficult.
Everything you said, definite plus one. But also, if there's the use of industry jargon in the conversation, an AI transcription tool is going to really struggle to understand what that jargon is. And it's going to substitute in, you know, nonsensical words. What's interesting about the human generated transcription conversation is, like, we have done some projects where Bob and the Rewired group have run interviews with a company. And the reason they run interviews is for the high level leadership decision making purposes, and they don't need the transcripts. And so there's been a situation where I've gotten into a folder of interview recordings and I've read the transcripts and they all come from Pick Your AI Tool. And I'm like, we got to do these over again. Like, we're not going to run the interviews again, but we're going to take these recordings and we're going to have them retranscribed, because in terms of applying that voice of customer, you're totally right. Like, it just, maybe someday, but not yet. And we can remain hopeful.
Yeah. So I know that we wanted to talk about an example of a company that we worked with. Now, just to back up for a second, we could probably reference any single one of the companies that we've worked with over the years that have benefited from voice of customer captured during customer mm-hmm. interviews. I would say every single one of them has. We are always actually crafting, you know, a messaging strategy based on that voice of customer brief. So there's always new messaging that comes out of this work. But one example of a company that we worked with a couple of years ago, we actually ran these like qualitative surveys. And because the customer, this particular customer base was so engaged and there were so many of them, we actually could get away with qualitative surveys with them. And yeah, we got a lot of very high quality survey responses. So if your customer base is highly engaged and like loves you and there's a ton of brand affinity, which was the case with the example that we want to tell here, you might be able to get away with customer surveys. We would always advocate for not stopping there, obviously. And truth be told, the majority of the companies that we're working with are in the B2B, you know, space, and their customers are very busy and aren't very responsive to surveys like this in a nuanced enough way to actually leverage the voice of customer. But this was an exception where we worked with a company where we ran qualitative surveys, got tons of responses, and the responses were rich and lots of amazing voice of customer came out of it. So yeah, we started working with this founder and she was very interested in moving into a B2B market and how they had been positioning and messaging the product thus far had really been around like speed of execution and being able to do like high quality life lapse for time lapse stop motion, being able to do like high quality stop motion very quickly and efficiently. And that was sort of what they had been leaning into from a messaging perspective. That was what they believed really was the most important thing about their offering. And when we got all these responses to the qualitative, really got to like emphasize that it was a qualitative survey that we ran. We're not talking about, you know, multiple choice here at all. Open text got very rich responses. The emphasis was very different.
So to kind of paint that picture of the assumption of the position in the market being like speed of content creation, the H1, the hero section of the website said like shoot stop motion videos 10 times faster with this tool, with LifeLapse. And when we ran this survey, there's a question there that in the survey that prompted really helpful answers was something along the lines of like, what was going on that pushed you to look for a new tool to do this, to create like stop motion content? And it really wasn't about looking for a faster way. What we learned was that like the B2B users that this founder was trying to attract more of, they were looking for new content ideas or like new methods of content creation, because what they had been doing, a lot of still photography, for example, had kind of gotten stale. And so we got, I mean, I can read off some of the different quotes directly from customers. And, you know, as a beauty and lifestyle brand, I was looking for fresh new ways to create content. Someone said I needed exciting and eye-catching content. I wanted photos that would come to life. I wanted to elevate my content. So there was really nothing about speed in what we were learning from ideal customers and what they cared about. And so yes, we worked with this founder to rethink how the product was described. And the H1 changed from shoot stop motion videos 10 times faster to increase engagement with stop motion. And then there's a little like H2 that was bring your brand to life with beautiful eye-catching videos. All of that came straight from voice of customer. And the results were really incredible. I mean, 93% increase in product signups, I want to say, from people getting to the site to downloading the product.
Yeah. And that was just a couple months after the change had been made. I think it was 2 months later, we checked back and the signups had increased 92% or 93%. Yeah.
Right. And we did more than change like this one section of the homepage. I mean, we worked with the founder to rethink the structure of the messaging, but all of what we did came from that voice of customer. Like, we didn't go off into a conference room and like brainstorm what needed to go on the page.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a great demonstration of literally copying and pasting voice of customer.
Yeah.
the juxtaposition of the two, you know, with the like 10 times faster versus like beautiful and eye-catching and engaging content was just so obvious. And in hindsight, makes perfect sense. But of course, when you're, you know, that expression, when it's hard to read the label from inside the jar, you know, that's exactly the situation that she was in. And so many teams are in, it is unbelievable. I mean, I would say that every, you know, company and team that we talk to are kind of in that situation where they're so close to their solution that they have a hard time sort of stepping outside of it. And so voice of customer is this really effective way to quote, like a direct quote, like, well, actually your customers said this, customer with these two eyes, nose, and a mouth said this, right? And really having it be a, like a verbatim direct quote from a customer is really powerful for gaining buy-in on like on customer research, but also for leveraging voice of customer and really feeling good and like a lot more confidence in the copy and messaging strategy that you move forward with. The example that we just gave is of a like homepage, like you literally said like an H1 and H2, but obviously the applications for voice of customer span far beyond just like a homepage. So you mentioned that for this product, we came up with new, like a new messaging strategy and hierarchy of messaging. Also, you know, where you can apply this type of voice of customer. And I believe we did this for this team too. I can't remember the details, but there's, you know, you can leverage voice of customer, not only in your, you know, marketing out in the world to find people that are, that represents your ideal customer's like problem that you solve. So the market, so using voice of customer in your marketing campaigns out in the world to attract that right fit customer, using voice of customer on your website to prove that you can solve this ideal customer's problem, right? That you understand their problem and are specifically designed to solve it. Also really powerful. Post sign up, right? Either in your product experience, in your early product experience, or, you know, via really powerful tools like email onboarding and things like that, this copy, this voice of customer can be applied there as well in slightly different ways, obviously, but it is the same voice of customer that you would tap into in your marketing copy that's out in the world, you know, with the goal of attracting somebody to your website, as it would be the type of voice of customer that you'd lean into during that early product experience and customer onboarding, let alone the sort of customer marketing that you might be doing. Because some of the, what is captured in these conversations and in this research is also like, now that you're our customer, what is it that you're able to do now that you weren't able to do before? But also like, what is it that you're doing next, right? That's something that we also tend to try dig for in these conversations. And so you will also have voice of customer from your existing customer base on what they're challenged with now, what is exciting them now, and so that you can leverage that for even like post-acquisition customer marketing, potentially expansion, monetization opportunities down the line. So I just wanted to sort of bring it back to like a headline on a homepage, absolutely lean into your VOC, but the voice of customer has so many more applications. And I only mentioned the applications of the, like your mainstay assets. Well, marketing, your marketing campaigns aren't a mainstay, but you know, your onboarding and your homepage and your customer marketing and things like that. But also for content that you should be producing and being really strategic about content, this voice of customer, you know, document can give you lots and lots of ideas like we were talking about earlier. So lots of applications beyond just like a headline on a homepage. Again, I think this is part of the reason why I was like wanting to dig into this topic, because this voice of customer is the unsung hero of research, because we tend to talk about like the insights and the takeaways and making it actionable and scalable. And
this is like starting document that fuels all of those steps of taking action.
We talk about conducting interviews and conducting this research in the book. And then in the workbook, there is a voice of customer brief template where you basically write from that learning, you sort of organize it inside of this voice of customer brief. So if anybody is curious to be like, what is this brief that you've spoken of so much? Mm-hmm. It is in the workbook. So if somebody's interested in grabbing it, they can grab it there. Cool. Okay. Thanks, Claire. And that's it for this episode of the Forget the Funnel podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions about the topics we covered, don't hesitate to contact Claire or I on LinkedIn. And you can also visit our website at forgetthefunnel.com. This is still a new podcast for us, so ratings, reviews, and subscriptions in your podcast platform of choice make a huge difference. See you next time.